T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, don't go anywhere. In the next segment, we will be featuring in depth the Dallas Cowboy loss, Al. Very controversial finish to the game. Debris thrown. Delightful situation. And you will hear a coach who I believe is even more moronic than the Eagles coach coaches were yesterday. Eagles coaches were atrocious. Mike McCarthy topped them in the next game, in my estimation. But we'll deal with all that. First, we have on a man who was brilliant yesterday. The finest performer associated with the Eagles yesterday was Ray Dittiger on the post-game show. Ray is brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. To find a plumbing professional near you, visit bradfordwhite.com. Ray, welcome to the show today. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Ange. How are you?
Ray, you were awesome after the game because you took no prisoners. And I just want to start with this. How disappointed should Eagle fans feel this morning?
Well, I'm sure disappointed because I think you – I don't know how many people really thought they were going to win, although – when we did the predictions pregame, everybody on the panel picked the Eagles except me.
Yeah.
So I guess there was more optimism than I thought. I kind of thought this was the way it was going to play out. I thought they would be more competitive. I really thought they would be more competitive in the game. But I really didn't think they were going to win. I just didn't see it. I mean, I honestly spent all of last week looking at the tape and looking at the stats and trying to convince myself there was a way they could win. I mean, I really, even when I was in studio with you on Thursday, I was trying my hardest to convince myself that they could win this game. But I just kept coming back to the fact that they're just not there yet. You know, they got to the playoffs, which that's great. I mean, that's really an accomplishment for this team, and I certainly didn't think they would get that far. But, you know, you're going down there to play the world champs in their stadium, and you're playing the greatest quarterback of all time. And a team that, you know, they defend the run. If you're going to go in there and run the ball, then you're going against a team that really defends the run well, especially on their home turf. There was just an awful lot that this team had to overcome in this game, and I just didn't see it happening. But I really thought they would be more competitive. I mean, this game was over at halftime,
well,
and I didn't expect that.
Let's focus on that because a lot of people could make a very good argument. I think I made one at the beginning of the show that the first mistake came before the kickoff when you won the toss and handed the football to the greatest quarterback that ever lived against a defense that always starts poorly. Ray, wasn't this a case where you try to take the ball first and take control of the game before Brady ever gets on the field? Don't you take the ball?
I would say that if you were a team that had a fast starting offense, but you know, with this offense and the way they start games, and it's been this way for months, that they, you know, their first possession is, you know, there's three and out. So I mean, taking the ball wasn't going to help you in that spot. No, I didn't see that. I actually thought that they had a better chance of getting the ball back than getting the ball and doing something with it. I do play the numbers on this, and the numbers all point towards, unless there's an overriding weather factor where the wind is just so strong that it says take the wind, you're better off. All the analytics, and I'm not Mr. Analytics, but in this case they do kind of make some sense.
All right,
is to defer.
You expressed through your whole opening remarks surprise and confusion at the offensive game plan, at the play calling. in the early parts of the game. Mm-hmm. What perplexed you there?
Just to follow up on the point that I was making, the slow starts. I mean, that's really an issue, and that is squarely on the coaches. I mean, this is week after week after week after week. I mean, we're talking months, month after month. You just can't come out of the gate. I mean, you can't generate any offense in the first quarter, and in some cases, the first half of the game. And all these coaches, I mean, you got all these coaches, you spend all week, you know, doing your quality control and your self-scouting and all that stuff, and you can't fix that? I mean, that's really a problem. And look, down the second half of the year when you were playing lesser teams and you're playing lesser teams with lesser quarterbacks, yeah, you can fall behind early and you can still come back in the second half and win games. They did that. But if we said it once, I said it 20 times. You can't do this against the teams you're going to be facing in the playoffs. And you absolutely can't do this against Tom Brady. You can't start slow or you're going to be out of the game before you're in it. And that's exactly what happened here. But in terms of the X's and O's part of it, I kind of wanted to see what Tampa Bay came out and how they were going to play against this running game. And they came out and, you know, Todd Bowles, he just stacked the box. I mean, he brought everybody into the box and just basically said, okay, you want to run the ball? Good, here, try it. And so when you saw what they were doing at the line of scrimmage, with loading the box and playing single on the outside, you got to take those shots. I mean, you can't answer it. Your idea of a passing game can't be wide receiver screens, and it can't be screens to the running back because they're too fast on the second level. If you try and throw wide receiver screens or you try to just dump the ball off to a running back, that defense, especially those linebackers, are too fast. They're going to run that down. So the only way, if you feel like you got to throw the ball to make any yardage, then you got to throw the ball down the field. And you have one real weapon in that part of the passing game, and that's Devontae Smith. So the only way to get out of that, get that defense out of what it was playing, is to throw the ball, and not screen passes, but you got to throw the ball down the field. Well, if you got to throw the ball down the field, you got one guy to throw it to. And they didn't throw him the ball until the end of the second, until like 1 minute before halftime, and you're already down 17-0. That's bad coaching. That's just bad coaching. And the thing is, one thing about their defense that was entirely predictable was Todd Bowles is going to play cover three. Todd Bowles has played cover three for as long as he's been coaching. Every team he's been with, every stop, he is a pure cover three guy. You knew that all week. And one of the weaknesses on cover three is the way they play is the corners play off and they drop. And if you have a receiver that can work the sidelines and run comeback patterns, which is Devontae Smith runs those really well, that play was there all day. And they didn't go to it till the game was over. I mean, again, bad coaching. Now, I think that Nick Sirianni, he did a terrific job this year. You know, I really saw a tremendous improvement in him. And over the second half of the year, he called some really good games. Yesterday was not one of them.
Well, let me point out one other. And we may need you back later this week to do the defense because there's a lot to unfold here, Rick. But you got a 4th-and-10. You're down 17, right? You're midway through the second quarter. And you dial up a play for Rager? Now, I've been watching that. Your eyes are better than mine, right? But I thought he was the primary coverage. Here's the actual play call. 4th-and-10. This is your last hurrah. You're trying to score at the half, get the ball, start of the second half, maybe score again 17-14. And this is the play you dial up. Listen to this. All right, Joe. Doesn't have it. All right, I had it loaded before, but I don't. He throws it. It's number two. He throws it down toward the side. Do you have it now? Let's hear it.
4th-and-10. This is a big play. Hurts. Steps up. Lets it fly. And it is almost intercepted, but it's incomplete. Intended for Rager.
Yeah, Carlton Davis, he drives on that throw and does a better job of coming back to the football than does Rager.
Ray, what you're saying is that's perfect for Smith. That's what he runs, right?
That's it. That's the.
Well, why wouldn't you do it?
I have no idea. I have no idea. The overall offensive approach, the way they reacted to what they saw once the game started, and their for whatever, I don't know, it was an unwillingness to go to Smith or to utilize Smith, but I have no idea. And in that play, Rager's a guy who can't make anything happen down the field. He just doesn't run good enough patterns. That's a basic stop comeback pattern that Devontae Smith runs. He already runs that as good as any receiver in the NFL. I'm not kidding when I say that.
Wow.
He's really good at it. So if you decide that that's your best call in that situation against that defense, and it probably is, to be honest with you, that's a play that, but you got the wrong guy running it. And, again, that's the coaching thing. And, you know, I'm sort of fingering Sirianni here, but it goes much deeper than that. I mean, you have up in the box upstairs, you got a whole coaching staff that's sitting up there, and they have the eye-in-the-sky view of the whole field. And they had to see, somebody up there had to see this coverage that the Tampa Bay team was in and that open area underneath the corner to the side where Devontae Smith is. And you could have just thrown that ball. I mean, they're giving you 7-8 yards anytime you want to take it. And you didn't start taking it till the game was basically over.
It's an amazing thing to think about. One last thing, I guess. I'm just going to do the offense. I may have you back later in the week, Greg, because can I be honest with you? I can't get enough of your analysis. I love this stuff. Could you just explain to me how we should feel right now about Jalen Hurts, since the intangibles were supposed to be the thing he checked the most, and
right.
He did not seem to have much composure yesterday and did not raise to the moment the way we thought he would. How should we feel about Hurts right now, Ray?
It's true. What you said is true.
Yeah.
He came unraveled, you know, and I didn't really expect that. One stat that I was looking up last week was quarterbacks making their first postseason start against quarterbacks who have been there before, who have been there multiple times. My sense of it was that they didn't fare very well, but the numbers certainly bore that out. If you go back, and I didn't go back all time, I went back like 20 years, in that spot, the spot that Hurts was in yesterday, making his first postseason start against a quarterback who has been there, and listen, with this guy, it's the ultimate guy.
Right.
Okay, those quarterbacks are 17-37, so. You understand going in that first time around is tough. It's very hard, and part of it is that you're playing against the best, and everything you hear quarterbacks say this all the time. I mean, Aikman said it yesterday. I heard Ron Jaworski say it this week. The game moves faster in the postseason, and it's true. I mean, people think that you're just saying that, but it's true. Everything happens faster. Everything moves faster. Every decision you have to make it faster. And the pressure just builds on you, especially when you fall behind early. And that's what happened to Jalen Hurts yesterday. And he got overwhelmed. There's no question. I mean, he didn't see the field well at all. And some of it was the play calling. I really think that was part of it. The coaches certainly didn't help him with the stuff that they were sending in. I mean, I use the term in a post-game show. The offense seemed, their play calling in terms of the passing game seemed myopic. They can only think about one person at a time. You know, the whole first half, all they did was throw the ball to Goddard. And then the second half, after they had a chance to talk about it, the only guy they threw it to was Smith. That kind of offense, you watch Brady, which is, okay, maybe not the great example because he's the best, but one of the great things that Brady does is Brady incorporates everybody. You know, they run the ball, and he throws the ball to every single receiver. Everybody touches the ball. He moves the ball around like that. Well, the Eagles just had one plan of attack in the first half and then in the second half. And you're not going to beat a world championship team playing that way.
Ray, with your permission, we're going to book you again on Thursday where you normally were on if there was still an Eagles game to deal with the whole defensive problem in Jonathan Gannon. Would that be okay, Ray?
Sure. That's fine.
Ray Dittinger will be back later in the week with the defense. Ray, phenomenal job of unwrapping some of that trouble with the offense. Great job as always. Thank you, Ray.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.